rise and shine, for your light has come. Stay tuned for Brunchtime Motivational Talk Show, only on Shalom FM.
Don't know how, but you did it. Made a way. Standing here, not knowing how we'll get through this test. But holding on to faith, you know best. Nothing can catch you by surprise. You got this figured out, and you're watching us now. And when it looks as if we can't win, wrap us in your arms and step in. And everything we need you to supply. You got this in control, and now we know that you made a way. When our backs were
against the wall, and it looked as if it was over,
Lord, you made a way. And we're standing here,
and we're standing here,
only because
you made a way.
Welcome to Shalom FM. This is your favorite transformational speaker, say Brian Robert Koga. And that was Travis Green with Made a Way, which has really been our song, that God will always make a way. Things may be impossible with man, but with God, all things are possible. Now, today is, I just want to do a quick recap of our last previous show for those who were not able to join us. Last previous show, we spoke about what I had entitled Ships That Failed to Sail. And we say that it's a story found in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 42, roundabout there. And it talks about Jehoshaphat, who was a young king. At age 35, he got on the throne as the king of Israel. And the Bible says that when he got on the throne, the previous king that had come before him had made use of all the wealth of the country to go to war. And so everything that they had within the country's treasury was well gone. And so Jehoshaphat gets on the throne, and the country is in deep poverty. And we highlighted that it is many a times where our predecessors, those before us, the generations before us, have really squandered and not really made use of the resources and the time they had to actually leave something for the next generation, such that when the other generation comes, it can even start on a negative bank balance or a negative way. It's really hard to break away from that chain of poverty. But with God, all things are possible. And we, the generation that is alive and the people that are alive at this point in time, we have the responsibility to change not only our situations and our lives, but we have to change the narrative for the future generations so that at least when they start again, they will do better. You know, if you know better, you always obviously do better. And we said Jehoshaphat, in his wisdom, he sat down with his council of people and decided that the only way to get out of this was for him to make ships so that he could travel to Africa and to get gold, so that when he came back with the gold, they may be able to transact and to really have something going to get the economy back on its feet. And I believe that we are living in times or challenging times where even as nations, even as families, there's a lot of things happening in regards to, we're talking about the pandemic and also where we are. Shalom FM is in South Africa, Cape Town, and in South Africa there has been recent outbreaks of violence, looting and all. And it's really such a shame and tragedy where when we're trying to rebuild, we end up sabotaging ourselves. And we end up, instead of when we take two steps forward, we, by our actions and by our choices, end up pulling people back. And we discuss that it is really, we as much as we can point fingers to say it was who, but we actually have to take responsibility. Real change begins within, as they say, charity starts at home. So therefore, in that regards, after the show, I really got some feedback from a number of people who came back and said I may have been too harsh on the people who were looting. I may have been too harsh. And I made it clear to them that I was not judging the people per se, but it's not judging the people, but we judge the actions. We cannot allow incorrect actions or immoral actions to be let go, but everything has to be, people have to be accountable for whatever actions they take. And the WhatsApp number for Shalom FM, as we obviously love to hear your feedback for any show, any schedule, your prayer requests, your testimonies, or whatever you have in mind, feel free to send us a WhatsApp to +27 81 026 9868. And it is in that regards that today I really want to address one of the things that is of paramount importance. And I'm going to call it, I'm going to title this show today, Why We Do What We Do. Someone said that it is important to judge people according to either mistakes or habits. Now, a mistake is something that you do because, you know, you did not really plan to do it, but you end up doing something that you didn't really want to do, and you end up, it's at fault. Or then the other things that will happen is, if a mistake continually happens, then it's no longer a mistake, it becomes a habit. But we really, a fool, like they say, is one who does the same thing expecting a different answer. So it is in that regards that I want to share something that will hopefully be make a difference to wherever you are, because God has given us a facility to get salvation and redemption and for us to get restoration of whatever we lost. But we cannot be our own worst enemy to say that when God has done all he can as God, then we ourselves refuse to accept and refuse to, and we pull ourselves back by our actions. Acts chapter 17 is our scriptural reading for the day. Acts chapter 17 verse 30. It says, the time of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. I'll repeat it for you. It says, the times of ignorance of God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Another version says, at the time when we were ignorant, God winked. But now that we have come to the knowledge of right and wrong, then we must repent. Now, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus, in his mercies, gave his only begotten Son. John chapter 3, verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So therefore, perishing is actually a choice. We choose to perish simply because we refuse to accept what God has given us, and that is salvation. And we choose to refuse to give to live a life according to God's principles, which will allow us to live the best life ever. So during times of ignorance or times when we did not know what was right and wrong, God winked, but now he calls all men to repentance. If a child growing up does not really know what is right and what is wrong, he doesn't know that certain points, he doesn't know that when, let's say for example, a baby crawling wants to pull out all the plugs, he wants to hold everything, but those things are dangerous to her. But she won't know unless she is told and warned. So therefore, because we do not know certain things that are right and wrong, but now that you have come to the knowledge of knowing right and wrong, you must really do right. You must choose right. And it is in that regards that what I'm going to share today is actually, I have a chapter in my book where titled Why We Do What We Do. Because an unexamined life is not a life worth living. You have to really examine your life, examine the steps that you have taken, because where we are is a result of the choices and actions that we have done in the past. So if we are really not happy with where we find ourselves at, then we must really look back in history and see, look at the steps that have taken us to where we are and really change the steps that we are going to take moving on into the future. The past is the past, but the past has so many profound lessons that we can take so that we don't keep doing the same mistakes, the same failures. Like I said, the predecessors, the generations that were behind us may have been corrupt, may have been involved in all certain immoral activities. But now that we know that this is not right and this is wrong, we ourselves now have the responsibility to change our narratives going forwards so that things will get better. Things only get better if we act better, if we ourselves get better. Now, in the book I write, I've had experiences where I felt like my life was a constant replay, like it's a broken record playing again and again the same thing. What I currently do is what I've always done, and the results that I'm getting is what I have always received. I'm sure it's not just me. Maybe you may be currently feeling like that. It's a miserable state of affairs in one's life. The frustrating thing about it is the more you try, the harder you work, the more you get exactly to where you've started off at. It seemed like failure was my constant reality. Mediocrity, empty pockets or bank accounts. Yet deep down, I know I could move to the other side. Change is not just a possibility, but a must. Something has to give in life. We need to get to a point where you look at your life and you say, okay, this is it. Change only occurs when the pain of remaining where you are becomes so great than the comfort of staying where you are. So comfort is really a paralyzing thing, that you're too comfortable to get to the point that you never even put the extra effort to move yourself from where you are. But you need to get to a point where you look at where you are and say, okay, this is it. I'm going to do whatever it takes. For where there's a will, there's always a way. The reason is there's not really that will, that willpower that says, I'll do whatever it takes. Everyone in this world who has achieved certain success has gotten to a point that they refuse to let things as they are and decided to say, I'm going to make a move and I'm going to do whatever it takes. And they've really achieved greatness in this world. Anything is possible. Change is not a possibility. It has to be a must for you. Life is a constant battle between who you are now or who you yearn to be. At the beginning of the year, we all set resolutions to change. Yet after a few months or even days, we are back to where we started off. The question is why? Why do we do what we do? You have to know the actual motives behind every action that you take. Socrates alluded that an unexamined life is not worth living at all. To be better and do better, we have to study ourselves. A bad manufacturer who has made a bad car will recall everything back to the assembly line, back to the producer. It is broken apart and the problem is discovered, and then the vehicle is made anew with improvements. That's lives are saved. And that's for you to save yourself, to save your generation and your future generation, you need to find out why you do what you do, and what you do, what results has it brought about, and you need to change it. You need to change the narrative. Change is possible. Change is the only constant in life. Life will always change. As much as you can stay on the same street, in the same house, with the same family, but is never the same person. What you do now, today, or any day, is what has brought about the results you currently get. And if you don't change, you get the same results time after time. So for so long, I felt like a failure. The more I tried, the more I seemed to fail. I moved from place to place because the grass is always greener on the other side. Yet the seed within me is the one that is sometimes spoiled. And thus, I can never take advantage of the green grass. Real change is not an external matter. It is when we search within and change within that everything else changes. God said he forgave our ignorances. He forgave us when we did not know. Now that we have come to the knowledge of what is right and wrong, we must really change. What happens, happens to everyone. But it's really how we react to what has happened, how we suffer or thrive in regards to what has happened. The truest fact of life is when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at begin to change. My life began to change when I started to look to change from within my heart. I had been so negative for a very long time, and thus I kept attracting negative things in my life. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. One of the greatest enemy to progression or to any change is worry and fear. Simply because I was so afraid, I kept thinking about the very things I was afraid of. Job in the Bible, after having lost his wealth, his family, his health, and at the brink of death, concluded that the thing I fear the most I've brought upon myself. As a man thinketh in his heart or her heart, so he becomes, or so shall she be. Thus, we do what we do because deep down, that is all we think of. If you think of failing, you will fail. If you think and see yourself winning, you will win. Now, if someone comes to you and they're asking you for money, many a times people don't get what they ask of, because when they come to ask you, they come with that look that they don't really expect you to give them. So even you are not really motivated to give them. But if someone comes eagerly looking the face, you know, if your facial expressions, your body will tell whether you choose to win. Even the way someone walks, you can see that this person is having a good day or a bad day simply by how you walk. So therefore, if sometimes you want to change how you feel at all, you actually have to go into your own mind and to decide to change it for yourself. I've asked how many things in our lives do we do that we actually don't like know have a proper reason to say, why did I start doing this? Why do I always do this? Sometimes we are influenced by the people around us. The very fact of the matter is, sometimes what we think is acceptable to everyone is not really acceptable for our lives. Someone said that we are all born unique and we are all born great. We are all born beautiful and wonderful. But many a times we die as miserable copies trying to be somebody else. If we allow ourselves to be who we are, we will outshine everybody else. We do what we do sometimes to be accepted by friends, by family, by our societies. But the question is, at what cost? In a bid to conform to the standards set for us, we lose who we are. We lose our individuality. Have you ever asked yourself, why do you believe what you believe? Why do you do what you do? Our belief system influences how we act. But some of our beliefs have been passed down through generations and generations, that we also do things as they have been done and pass it on. What if it is wrong? What if the system that worked back then can no longer work and be applied to our generation? We have to be able at any day to sacrifice who we are for what we ought to be. The verse we read says, in the days of ignorance, Acts chapter 17, verse 30, God winked or God overlooked. But now we owe it to future generations to repent. Repent, it simply means to look back at how you have lived and to refuse to live as you have always lived, but to choose God's way and to choose to accept God as your Lord and Savior and to move in what God has given you. For he says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you. I set you apart. You are really set apart by God to achieve greatness. And you owe it to yourself, you owe it to your family, you owe it to your society and community to really change the narratives. To really change, there has been a lot of literature and studies done in regards to why we do what we do. But my favorite narrative is from the Bible. One of the verse, Romans 12 verse 2 says, and be not conformed to the standards of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. If you believe in God, then you have to believe that God made you to do better and be better. And if not, then changes are a must. The Bible narrative, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, says, talks about faith. Now, faith being the substance of things hoped for. And thus, you're not bothered by what is, because what is will give away to something better. And you can live with hope and expectation, and thus you can call forth those things that be not as if they are. I'm looking at the damage that has been brought about by the recent pandemic and by the recent actions of all in my country. But it's really, as much as things look bad today, but they will never stay the same. For weeping may endure for the night, but really joy comes in the morning. The book of Psalms says it. On the other hand, if you believe, let's say, in science, science really tells that we are on a constant path of improvement, of development, and improvement is inevitable. Then you as an individual must also evolve and change for the better. For that which is not growing is simply dying. Real life and transformation begins by the renewal of your mind. We can never go above and beyond our thoughts. We do what we do because we are creatures of habit. But what is habit? A habit is a decision you made at some point in time and then you stopped making the decision, yet you continue to action that decision. What it means is you made a decision, for example, to drink. And now when you do drink, you don't need to make a decision. It's a normal part of you. You made a decision to wake up and look at your phone every day. And every day you do that, you don't need to decide to say, when I wake up, I'm going to look at my phone. You simply just do it because it has become a habit. How are habits formed? We do what we do simply because it has become a habit. We keep on repeating the same mistakes simply because we have allowed ourselves not to learn from the past, not to learn from our mistakes and our failures. For if we are able to learn, if we use the information that we have, we're able to transform ourselves. Our bishop, Bishop Joshua N. Simeon, always says that if you are misinformed, then you will not be transformed, and there you end up being disformed. And no one loves anything that is deformed. So we owe it to ourselves, we owe it to generations, we owe it to the world, and we owe it to God to really use the information available to us to learn and to transform and be better. Habits are formed as follows. You sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow an action, and then it becomes a habit. A habit will make you or break you. It is what makes your character. And your character really determines how you live your life and how you and the results that you get at the end of the day. I want to challenge you to change for the better by simply working on your mind first. My life changed when I made a decision. We form habits because we make decisions to do certain things. As a child, I was slaves to impulses. I wanted to touch everything and to taste everything. As I grew, my actions began to be ruled by appetite, passion, greed, love, fear, my environment. But the biggest controller is always habits. Therefore, to switch from what I'm getting now to what I want, from failure to success, I must destroy bad habits and replace them with good habits.
then be not afraid to examine your own life and to make the necessary decisions. Some decisions are not easy, but they are decisions that are necessary for life to change. Sometimes it takes sacrificing the very thing that you've all held on for so long. Sometimes it takes losing the very people you call friends, family, and all. It takes letting go of the comfort zone, leaving the good for the better, leaving the better for the more excellent. There is really no limit to what we can do. So before you do what you do, ask yourself, why am I about to do this? Why do I do this? And what value is it contributing to my life? What are the consequences? Is it moving me towards my goals, or is it taking me back to where I've always been? Will it bring about the results I want, or will it bring about the results I've always received? Acts chapter 17, verse 30. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. If you know what is right and you decide not to do what is right, then you are judged. But if you do not know, then you can say, I do not know. But the moment you begin to know, when you become aware of the same mistakes that you always keep doing, then you have no right and you have no one to blame except yourself for repeating the very same thing. Now, this is Shalom FM, where we believe that there's always a way out in Christ Jesus. We believe that God came that he may restore us to our original, and God speaks of restoration. As we come back, I really want to look at the story of Samson, which I'll use as our case study for today. Why do we do what to do? Stay with us, Shalom FM. Our WhatsApp number +27810269868. This is your favorite transformational speaker, Sir Brian Robert Koga.
Arise and shine, for your light has come. Stay tuned for Brunch Time Motivational Talk Show, only on Shalom FM.
There comes a time when we hit a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying.
Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life,
the greatest gift of all.
We can't go on pretending day by day
that someone somehow will soon make a change.
We are all a part of God's great big family, and it's true, you know, love is all we need.
We are the world, we are the children, we are the ones who make a world and instruments of giving.
There's a choice we're making.
For help will not be in vain.
We can't let them suffer. No,
we cannot turn away.
Right now, they need a helping hand.
No, someone lie. We are the children.
We are the ones who make a brighter day. So let's start giving.
Well, I'll see you lies. Oh, that change can only
Welcome back to Shalom FM. This is your favorite transformational speaker, Sir Brian. At Shalom FM, our motto is there's always a way out in Christ. Now, today we're talking about why we do what we do. And we said when we come back, we're actually going to look at a case study, the story of Samson. Now, Samson was a person who was called for greatness. The story of Samson is one that we're told growing up. You see, my life and your life are an open book, as much as we don't want to accept that fact. The people around us and the generations to come, they look at us and they are able to read, they are able to actually learn from us. So please remember, whatever actions you take, whatever you do, and whatever you speak and say, make sure that it's worth reading or worth someone looking at and actually adds value and not destroys. My mother would tell me of Samson, the strongest man who ever lived. He killed a lion with his bare hands. He fought and got victory over 1,000 enemies and yet died without eyes simply because of why he did what he did. He never really lived to his fullest capacity or achieved the greatness for which God had created him. What a tragedy. But before we start judging and pronouncing the strongest man a fool, let us look at his life. He started so well and yet lost it along the way. Many a times we start something so well and yet at the end we come out as failures. Why? Growing up, when choosing teammates, for example, a game of soccer, would always choose the strongest and most talented and avoid others we saw as weak, but sometimes would lose. The reason being because of a weak goalkeeper. The point is that no matter how strong you are, you always be pulled back and limited by your weakness. Many a times in my walks at school and away from it, at work, at home, with the multitude of strengths and talents God gave me, I still failed simply because of a single weakness. The weakest link in a chain will soon see it break. A small leak and a hole in a big ship will soon see the ship sink. A little neglect may breed great mischief. For want of a nail, the floor collapsed. For want of a floor, the building crashed and human lives were lost. If only care had been put to hammer the nail in place. Samson, oh great Samson, how the great and mighty has fallen. The story is found in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 16 from verse 15 to 22. It is the narrative of the fall of a great man and warrior. Samson's birth was pronounced by an angel, and he came as a savior to his people. God gave Samson unprecedented strength, a great military leader. He won many battles and conquests, yet he failed to overcome his weakness and thus his downfall. The Philistines, the enemies, failed in all counts, home and away, to win against Samson. No man was strong enough, and yet they identified a weakness. Samson's weakness was his love for women. They used Delilah and promised her 1,100 pieces of silver if only she would find out Samson's source of strength and power. So Delilah asked, and in three times she was deceived, yet at the end of the day she won. Delilah said to him, "You don't love me, for if you love me, you would say out the truth." Samson, to prove his love for her, told the truth, and thus had the source of his strength, the hair, cut off. He was taken as a slave. His eyes were taken out, and he became the laughingstock for his enemy. What a tragedy! What made such a strong man and a great warrior and a savior of God's nation so weak? There are many reasons attributable to Samson's fall, but to give out just two reasons that pulled him back, it is a tragic story, but at the end of the day, Samson was able to recover. Samson was fixated on his feelings and not focused on the facts. Delilah, according to the account, asked Samson three times, and three times Samson lied about the source of his power. Delilah, the so-called girlfriend, would do as Samson would have said in the hope that he becomes powerless and would call the enemies to destroy him. It makes no sense how Samson yet remained with her after being betrayed time and time again. Samson lied because he did not trust her, and yet when the word love was thrown into the equation, Samson vomited and said out the truth. The greatest damage in our lives are not the lies that people say about us, but the greatest damage comes from the lies we tell ourselves and choose to believe, ignoring the facts. We choose to accept that we are failures when we really are not. We choose to accept that life cannot change for us when it's possible to change. Those who have risen from nothing, started with nothing, and yet refused to accept life as is, but they went out of their way. They began to think outside the box and became innovative to the point that they shattered the very limitations in their lives and came out winning. And we as well can do the same. Most of the decisions I made, which resulted in tumor, were made in haste because of feelings and emotions. Always think things through. Don't rush to make decisions. Don't make a permanent decision in a temporary situation. It doesn't matter how bad it looks today, but look unto God and know that it's possible for you to change. You do not make a decision to be born in this world, but you came. The life that you have is actually a gift, but whatever you do now is your choice and your responsibility. You cannot blame the people of the past for who you are today. You can blame them for where you started off, but you cannot blame them for where you ended. This comes to all of us. You see, I don't care, and I'm not really particular in regards to how you've been raised and where you started off. But what really is of paramount importance is that you begin to know that the future can be bright if you decide to make the necessary changes. You can never enjoy the warmth of the fire unless you go into the woods and pick up the wood. So you pick up the wood, do whatever it takes, and you attain whatever you want. One will drown in a sea of feelings and emotions if there are no facts to hang on or to pull us out. Feelings are not always true. They change and they can be misleading and sometimes are not aligned to the facts of the matter. If you ask someone, why do you do what they do? If you ask them, why do you feel that way? Sometimes we can just wake up feeling tired and miserable and bored. But really, you have to find out why and you have to change it. You see, feelings will determine how you act. If you don't feel motivated or inspired to do something, you will not do it, no matter how big the reward is. His desire for Delilah was deeper than his desire and devotion for God, his dreams, his mission and purpose. Idolatry is anything or anyone who takes more priority, attention, resources, or devotion and your time from God. A dream is the seed of possibility planted in the soul of a human being, which causes him to pursue a unique path until the realization of that purpose or that goal or that dream. The moment you settle for less than you deserve, you even get less than you settled for. Samson settled for a lady who betrayed her time after time, and because of being driven by emotions and feelings, he stayed there, and that's his downfall. At the end of the day, in this world, order is best maintained in accordance to this simple rule that everyone must be his own policeman. You must be accountable to yourself. Be honest with yourself. Search your deepest parts. If there be any weakness and threats, work on these and turn these into stepping stones. Decisions to be made should be carefully thought through and aligned to facts and principles. Ask yourself, is it taking me closer to my goals and dreams or pushing me away further away? I've learned that it is never good to make decisions when emotions are high because they have a tendency of clouding our judgment. I think a personal audit of one's life is of paramount importance. You really have to be honest with yourself. If you want to go far, then you need to know if you have resources enough, fuel enough to complete your journey. Then why do we expect to go far in life when we are unsure of what we have and if it is sufficient enough to carry us through? Do you have the willpower to go as far as you want to go? Find out what is working and keep working and work on what is not working. A table cannot stand on one leg. Neither can a building stand on one pillar. So work on yourself mentally, physically, emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually so that you are well equipped for this journey of life. As the story of Samson goes, Samson chose to disobey God by going for a woman who did not know what was right, a woman from the other side who deliberately deceived her time and time again. Do not be deceived. Whatever a man sows, that is the exact thing that you reap. The verse that we read in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 says, "The times of ignorance God has winged, but now that we know what is right, God asks that we repent and that we do that which is right." I think that at this point in time in our lives, we cannot blame the people in the past. We cannot blame the circumstances or situations around us, for they are a result of the past actions. But we cannot blame the future on anyone else but ourselves. Samson had a choice. He could have chosen to obey God from time and time again. He could have chosen to do that which was right. But he decided to follow his feelings. His feelings deceived him. I know that for a fact that whenever you have to really make a decision, you need to make the time to see, okay, what are the consequences of certain choices that I do? The recent actions in our country, in South Africa, have brought about now an economic crisis, a crisis that could have easily been avoided by making the right choices. Make the right choice today, and tomorrow you will live with no regrets. Regret is not something that you want, but it doesn't matter what mistakes you have made today. The Bible says that God, in our time of ignorance, our time where we did not know what was right and wrong, He forgave us. And He speaks of restoration. God is able to restore that which you have lost. There's always a way out in Christ, God. There's always a way out. It doesn't matter how dark the night seems, but the light of God is able to shine and to break away. No matter how raging the storms of life are, no matter how the storms have come upon you, Jesus can stand up and say, "Peace, be still." Why don't you calmly call on God and say, "Lord, help me"? Look at your life. Look at your life. Look at what you've always dreamed of what you've always hoped for, and of all what you've always wanted, and ask God to say, "Lord, I may be at fault for bringing myself failure time and time again, but may you forgive me and may you help me to make better choices. May you help me to make better moves." If you're playing chess, you cannot keep doing the same chess move that is the one that has brought about failure or losses to you. You have to change. You have to change. And real change begins from within. Whatever a man sows, that is what he will reap. There's a story that I recently heard of a small boy who had a big fight with his mother. They fought so hard, and the stories say that they were staying in a mountain place. So when they fought so hard, he got so angry and said, "I hate you, I hate you," and he ran out of the house. Because he was still angry, he shouted on top of his voice, "I hate you, I hate you," and the echo came back to him, the same words, "I hate you, I hate you." He was so shocked, and he ran back to his mother and said, "Mother, there is a boy out there who's shouting, 'I hate you, I hate you.'" And the mother told him, "Go outside and say there's another boy who says, 'I love you.' Go outside and scream on top of your voice, 'I love you, I love you,' and you hear the reply." So the young man went outside and shouted, "I love you, I love you," and the same answer came back. I'm saying that in the same way, the thoughts that we think of, if you send out thoughts of hate, thoughts of negativity, thoughts of failure, thoughts of disappointment, unfortunately, that is what you get. But if you send out love, you get love. You do not go out in the world looking for friends, but what you do is you become so friendly. And as you go out in the world and you are friendly, you will, by all means, find the friends that you are trying to find. So go out and give your best. When you give your best, you always get the best. When you give out mediocrity, you always get mediocrity. You cannot expect God to do everything for you. God has done His part. It is now in our hands. The boy is in our court, like they say. It's in your court for you to shoot or for you to just punch the ball. It's your choice, really. Our choices determine how the future will be. Here at Shalom FM, we believe that yes, there's a way out in Christ Jesus. And yes, God has promised that He will never leave us or forsake us. He promised that He will forgive us. For the Bible says that God is faithful. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This goes to all of us, that we can confess our sins to God and God will forgive us. But now that we know what is right and wrong, let us not allow ourselves to stay in the same space, but let us change the stories for ourselves. God will always give us the strength. The Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens us." Samson, at the end of his life, God restored the power, the source of his strength, which was hair. And when his hair was fully grown, though he was blind, he said and prayed to God and asked God for forgiveness. And he chose to die as a martyr, and he killed more of the enemies than he had ever done while he was alive. It doesn't matter how you started off, but God can restore the years that you have lost. For He says, "I'll restore the years that you have lost. I'll restore, I'll give you double for your trouble. I'll restore what the enemy has stolen." John 10, verse 10, as I come to the end of this show today, says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is the promise that Jesus gives to everyone. This is the promise that God gives, that it doesn't matter what has been stolen. It doesn't matter what has been destroyed. It doesn't matter what has been killed by the enemy. But God is able to resurrect the dead. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is able to feed you with everything that you have ever desired. He's able to do far more exceedingly abundantly above whatever you can ask, think, or imagine. He is that great God. He is that big God. Nothing is impossible with him. There is always a way out in Christ Jesus. I'll see you on the next show on the Morning Drive. The Morning Drive is at this roundabout this time, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And this is your favorite transformational speaker, Sir Brian. Don't log out of Shalom FM. Keep listening and keep looking. We have amazing programs lined up for you. The website is www.shalomfm.org, and we obviously love to hear feedback from you. The WhatsApp number is +27 810269868. Remember, there's always a way out in Christ Jesus.
Of Christ. You are listening to Shalom FM, Cape Town, where listening gives hope. Positive ingredients, freshly brewed by Shalom FM, Cape Town. We give God all the credit. Stay blessed and stay tuned.